In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, we see our Lord rebuking the wind and the waves of the sea, and they are calm. And if you look in the bulletin I printed, reprinted actually, of Sermon of St. Augustine, one of his shorter ones I was happy to find, I thought I can't say this any better, but St. Augustine compares the raging of the waves and the wind to the passions, principally anger, that wells up within us. And how is it that we allow this anger, this passion to well up within us? It's because we've allowed Christ to go to sleep in our hearts, in our souls. We have put Christ to sleep and we don't keep him alive with our faith, with our prayers. We're not calling on him. And so he is as if it were asleep. And these waves of our passions, they overwhelm us. What we need to do is call out, Christ, Lord, save us, we are perishing. And a simple word from him will calm everything. And that is really all we need to know from today's gospel. That Christ is in charge. He is God. The winds obey him. The seas obey him. All things obey him, with the exception of us. All of God's creation obeys him, except his rational creatures. I shouldn't say just us, because there are fallen angels. But those whom God has given intelligence, he has given reason, he has given a free will, we are the only ones who rebel against God. He says to the wind, stop, and the wind stops. He says to the sinner, stop, and the sinner keeps on going. He says to the waves, enough, and the waves stop. He says to the sinner, enough, and the sinner just keeps on going. It is really a peculiarity that we are so rebellious, so obstinate, that we want to drive God out of our hearts, out of our souls, when we should be welcoming him. We should keep him alive. We should keep him awake within our hearts and souls. But yet, by mortal sin, we drive Christ out. We drive out the life of grace, the life of Christ. And it is as if Christ is dead within us. And we can't waken him up. In our trials and tribulations, we can't wake him up because we've chased him out. We've got to first bring him back. But our Lord also in today's gospel rebukes the disciples. Oh, you have little faith. Why are you troubled? What are you worried about? For quite a while now, I've been reading a book written by some economics professors, Superabundance. And the subtitle has something to do with the effect that we live on an earth that has unlimited resources. And this book was written in opposition to some of the Malthusian philosophy that we're inundated with in the world today. That everything is bad, everything is dying, everything is falling apart. This world is so much worse than it was back in the good old days. And these economics professors are putting forth an idea that no, it's actually better today. Do you realize how hard your grandparents had to work to put the lights on? How many hours of labor did it cost them to turn the lights on compared with how many hours of your labor does it cost? What would it cost to do anything, to put food on your table, to heat your home, to light your home. There was a time they didn't even have lights. You wanted light, you burned a candle or oil. And it was much more expensive than the electricity. You say, but it was just a few pennies. Well, that's when a few pennies were worth what today is $5. And I like what these professors did. They asked, how many hours, how much time did you have to work to get this? Forget about dollars and cents, and we can do this across the whole world. But I find many faults with the book. Of course, it's not a religious book. It's a very secular perspective. But right there in the title, on the cover page, the idea that this earth is superabundant, that it is constantly renewable, as if there's something in the earth itself that is providing for us. And we don't have to worry because there's plenty of resources here. No, the earth has these resources because God is giving them to us. It is God who is providing these things for us. It is God who gives us the intelligence to use these things to develop and invent and produce. There's not a scarcity of things in the world. The only problem we might have is a distribution problem. There's plenty of stuff here. There's plenty to go around. But I was reading just yesterday, they did a survey of 16-year-olds to 22-year-olds. And the survey went mostly Europe and the United States and Canada. I forget what there was, like 200,000 or something who participated in this study. But 70% of our young people aged 16 to 22, 70% are anxious and concerned about the earth, about the environment. They are worried. And of those, I forget the exact number, but I think it was like 60% of those said they do not want to bring children into this world. They look at the world, they see the evil in the world, and they cannot see the good. There were several of the mass murderers who wrote manifestos, say basically with the idea that they are saving the earth. The people should be happy that we're killing all these people and making the world better. We're getting rid of these carbon producers that are killing the earth. And we should get rid of all these people, and then the earth will become a paradise once again. And I wrote in the margins, what good will it be for to have a paradise if there's no one here to enjoy it? But we're worried because we're looking to ourselves. We're looking to natural things. We've forgotten who's in charge. We have forgotten where our bounty comes from, where our blessings have come from. The authors of our book tell us that it's from our intelligence, our ability to adapt and to modify and to improve. And I say, well, you've got to go a little bit further. Who gave us this ability to see, to understand, to modify, to adapt, to invent? This all came from God. And I think we've done a great disservice to our children in telling them that the resources of this earth are very limited. And if we don't do something, we're going to run out. It's pretty scary. We need to tell them God is in charge. And he will renew these resources. He will give us what we need. We just have to act faithfully, act intelligently. And everything will be fine. Everything works for the good of those who love God. This world is a great place. It is God's gift to us. It is wonderful. It's not evil. It's not bad. And people are not the problem. They go so far to say that the more people, the better. They wrote a whole section explaining to us that as the population increases, so does all our resources. The more people we have, the more resources we have. Your fuels are limited. They were limited in your grandfather's time. There's only so much coal we can dig out of the earth. There's only so much oil we can dig out of the earth. We haven't run out yet. We just don't have all the means to pull out of the earth all that we can. There's more there than we know, than we realize. And you say, but it can't be unlimited. Why not? If God makes it unlimited, it's unlimited. But you don't need that. Because we already have people thinking about, what are we going to do? What other sources of energy can we develop? How can we use what we have more efficiently? How can we make it go further? And human beings, intelligent human beings, are making these discoveries. They're putting forth these ideas. And if there is really a problem, it's that we don't have the people in the world to think of these ideas because someone has aborted them, thinking that they were going to save the earth. Refuse to have this child because this child is going to harm the earth. But that child may be the one that God has destined, the one that God has chosen to come up with the great next invention, the great next product. And so I wholeheartedly agree that we should welcome children, that they are a benefit to society. The more, the better. As the population increases, our resources increase exponentially. They're not diminished. And I think back on some of the things of my own family. My father said, you know, he couldn't afford the first child, couldn't afford the 14th child, but somehow he managed to feed us all, put a roof over our head. We had plenty. I would say we had even more than plenty and more than we needed. God provided. And yes, my father worked very hard to provide all these things, but it was God who gave him the strength to work, God who gave him the opportunity to work, God who made the paycheck possible, who was able to buy what we needed. And I think that's something that we have lost sight of. We have lost sight in trusting God, turning to God. And I believe we deserve the same rebuke that our Lord gave the apostles at the end of today's gospel. Oh, you have little faith. Why are you worried? Don't worry. Why are you anxious? Don't be anxious. It's not going to do you any good. Wringing your hands and crying and whining and becoming depressed and despairing, it's not going to help you. Think positively. You got a problem in your life? Wake Jesus up and say, Lord, help us. And then put into practice the talents, the gifts that God has given you. How can we make this better? What can I do to be a positive influence in the society, in the world, in the environment? Whatever it is that's troubling you, what can I do? And set about to do it. And that doesn't mean committing suicide. The world is not going to be a better place if there's one less person here. There will be a great loss. That is a waste of God's gifts, of life, of talent, of opportunity. The greatest resource that we have is human beings, each other. I asked the children in their catechism, what are the chief creatures of God? And of course, the answer is, angels and men are the chief creatures of God. Then generally we veer off and say, what are angels, what are men? And we go into all of that, but the chief creatures. God made all of this for his chief creatures. The angels have no need of this earth. The air that we breathe, God made for us. The water that we drink, it was made for us. The oceans, the seas, the forest, the prairies, the fuel, the gas, the coal, whatever, the oil in the earth, the birds and the animals, all of these God made for us. We are the pinnacle of his creation here on earth. We are his greatest gift. And we need to understand this. We need to accept this, not with pride and haughtiness, but in true humility. Not to abuse the world that God has created, but to use it for his greater honor and glory, to develop it, to advance it. When I look back at the book of Genesis, God said to Adam and Eve, increase, multiply, subdue the earth. And everyone says, oh, they just populate the earth. No, that's not what Christ is telling, or God is telling Adam and Eve. Paradise was walled off from the devils. The devils roamed the earth. They were not permitted in paradise until Adam and Eve opened the door. When God told Adam to increase and multiply and subdue the earth, they were commanded to expand the garden of paradise, push the devils back further and further, bring the kingdom of God into this earth. And we can do this. With Christ's help, we wake him up, and all of this earth will bow down and serve us. If we stand with Christ in our soul, all things work out for the good of those who love God. If things aren't working out well, then I ask, do you really love God? If you're filled with despair, anxiety, I ask, do you really love God? Do you really trust God? It is time for us to wake up, or to wake Christ up within us. Lord, save us. We're perishing. Things aren't going well. Wake him up and then listen to him. Why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Don't worry. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, Everything else will be given you besides. Don't worry about this earth, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to sleep. You have a Father in heaven. He knows you need all these things. He'll give them to you. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be given to you besides. You don't think God can solve our environmental problems, our energy problems, our social ills? He can, if we allow Him, if we wake Him up within us. We are supposed to have Christ living within us, awake and active. As we go out into this world, we bring Christ out into the world, we drive the devils back. The problem I see in the world is that Christ is not living in the hearts and souls of men. But the devils have come. And now men carry out with them out into the world the devils. Instead of driving back the devils and subduing them, pushing them to the limits, the devils have taken over. We have opened the door and welcomed them into our hearts and souls. This inner paradise that was only made for God, we've chased God out and opened the door and said, "Come in, devils." And the devils lead us in despair, depression, anxiety, worry, discontent, not to mention the traditional vices, anger and jealousy and gluttony. The devils are good at all what they do. When we look out in the world and we see all this evil, that's what the devils have done, working through their human agents. What we need are more Catholics, more souls made in the image and likeness of God, not fewer, more souls doing the will of God, more souls waking up our Lord, "Lord, save us. We're perishing." And then we would soon realize one word from God and everything is made good. Everything is calm. There is peace once again. And I ask you, just consider yourself when you examine your conscience. And you feel this guilt and the weight and the shame. As soon as you go to confession and Christ absolves you, forgives you your sin, the priest in the name of Christ says, "Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace and sin no more." The same words of Christ, it is Christ speaking through him. Do you not almost always feel a big weight lifted off your shoulder? A relief? Ah, finally. Thank you, Lord. One word of Christ, and this weight is lifted. And then we go back out into the world, and we welcome the devil back in again, and we end up in the same situation over and over again. Because we have little faith. If we learn anything from the gospel today, I think we must learn that we have little faith. But because our faith is weak, let us cry out all the louder, "Lord, save us, we're perishing." Let's pray with even more fervor. And wake our Lord up. Bring him back awake in our lives so that he can calm the storm that's raging all around us. so that he can calm our minds and hearts. And he will. He can and he will if we just ask him. See, he rebukes us elsewhere. Ask and you shall receive. You haven't received yet because you haven't asked. Have you really prayed? What are we worried about? What are we concerned about? Oh, the earth, Mother Earth, yep, it's going to pass away. All things pass away. We know this earth is going to pass away. Well, it's going to be renewed at the end of time. Everything will be made new again. There's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about, nothing to be anxious about. Our only concern should be, what does God want me to do? How does God want me to live? And to have a little bit of faith, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. We just need to be with Christ, and everything will be fine. There is nothing to worry about, nothing to be anxious about. Yes, there's a lot of problems in the world. There's a story for children. I think I've told it before, probably last year. Sunday morning Storyland talks about when the Pope was elected. In the midst of all the wars, the world wars are going on. There's poverty, there's killing, there's chaos, and he's elected as the shepherd of the world, the vicar of Christ. And he feels overwhelmed by this burden. My children, my flock are killing one another. What can I do? And in his office, he got on his knees by his desk and began to pray. Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're killing each other off. And he saw there a picture, a painting of our Lord standing on a ship, on the bow of the ship, calming the wind and the waves. Don't worry. Christ is at the helm. And with that simple realization, peace is restored. Now he can go forth and be the vicar of Christ. He can work and labor to bring peace to man, knowing it's not on his shoulders alone, but now it is Christ who is doing these things through him. And we must also. Our problems are definitely not that big. In the grand scheme of things, our problems, our anxieties, our worries are not nearly that big. And if Christ can do these things, he can do the same for us. Let us just keep him within us. Keep him alive in our bodies, in our hearts, in our souls. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris. Et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.